Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we continue to look more deeply at that ancient hymn that we've been singing throughout the season of Lent here, O Love, How Deep. And tonight specifically we're going to talk about how God's work through the church leads to the rejection of Jesus that we just heard about in that Passion account. But even more than that, the rejection of Jesus then, which leads to the forgiveness of sins that we enjoy because of it. And the remarkable thing about this text from Mark chapter 1, not the Passion account that we read, but the other one, the remarkable thing about that text is how ordinary most of Jesus' works are. He prayed, he taught, he lived among the disciples, and he worked. Now, to be perfectly fair, some of Jesus' works are incredible, amazing, miraculous even. He heals people. He feeds people. He exorcises demons and all of those sorts of things. But for the most part, Jesus was a traveling rabbi who brought the word of God to the people that he encountered. And in encountering the word of God, everything changed for those people. The word of God who was in flesh in Jesus Christ. There's a saying that most people are going to act according to their own self-interest. And I think even in our lives we can understand that, and we would probably agree with that, that most of the things that we do, when we do them, we are thinking about ourselves as opposed to other people. That's not to say that we don't do good things, that we don't think about others from time to time, but most of what we do is fairly self-centered. To put it another way, when we work, we sacrifice, and we do things, it's generally for the benefit of us or for our families or friends or the closest people to us. So at least in some way, the very heart of this is embodied kind of in our American philosophy. That pull yourself up by your bootstraps, the go out and do it and get it done yourself, especially when it's for you. And people are predictable, aren't they? We'll buy what we consider to be the best deal, and there's going to be factors that go into that, maybe the price, the quality, the availability, the color, and maybe some other things that go into those decisions. But at the end of the day, we're going to buy, we're going to do what is best for us. And that's no more obvious than we look at things outside in our kind of system of government and work, especially if you look at like healthcare. Every time you get a bill, and I talk to so many of you quite frequently about your trips to the doctors and the ailments that you're going through and the struggles that you're having, and I'm sure with all of that comes the bills from the hospital or from the doctor, right? And you look at those bills, maybe you see the bill before the insurance has been applied to it, and you might think to yourself, aren't they supposed to be there to help us? But as the saying goes, you're going to get what you pay for, right? And our healthcare system, like many other things, is run by money and insurance. And what that means is that hospitals and doctor's offices and urgent care centers and everything else are only going to run when the money keeps flowing, right? So when you and I go to get help, the help that we receive is there for us because it's being paid for. It might be paid for by the insurance company. It might be paid for by the government. You might pay a portion of it yourself. But you can be certain that someone somewhere is paying for it. Because that's how the world works, isn't it? But it's not how God works. As our hymn puts it in stanza 4, for us he prayed, for us he taught, for us his daily works he wrought, by words and signs and actions thus, still seeking not himself, but us. In other words, everything that Jesus did here on earth was not for himself, but it was for you and it was for me. His teaching, his preaching, his defeat of Satan, his overthrowing of death and the grave, all of it was done for us. In many respects, this is what makes studying the life of our Lord so enjoyable, so worthwhile. Because whose else's life is there that you could look at and say that it's completely and utterly selfless in every way? So different from our own. And that's why the ordinariness of Jesus' life is so important. He did miracles, of course, and we talk about those. But perhaps his greatest miracle is that he forgives our sins over and over again. I had the opportunity last night to speak to the youngest of the Trail Life boys who gather here on Tuesday evenings, and I was asked to talk to them about service, and particularly what it's like to be a pastor and how I serve being a pastor. And I like talking about these things, and I like being able to share with them what sorts of things a pastor does and encourage young men to consider the ministry themselves. So it was an opportunity, it was a great opportunity for me to do that. And they asked about some of the things that I did. And the question I wasn't expecting, though, was the one that came at the end, was, what is the most rewarding part about being a pastor? And like I said, I wasn't expecting that question, and so through my mind were running all of these different things, and there are so many wonderful things about being a pastor: the opportunity to visit with people, the opportunity to talk to people, the opportunity to walk with all of you through even the difficulties of life, the opportunity to serve the Lord's body and blood from this altar here. They're all wonderful things. But what came to my mind first and foremost was the opportunity to forgive sins. And not me being the one who forgives sins, but the opportunity to have God use me as the conduit by which he forgives your sins. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Because even though that sometimes seems so ordinary to us, we do it every single Sunday morning. You confess your sins and then you receive the absolution from my mouth as from God himself. And it's ordinary. But it wasn't just the work that Jesus did while he was on earth. He gave that work to the church, then his very body here in this place, to do even to this very day. And Martin Luther puts it this way in the Large Catechism. He says, everything, therefore, in the Christian church is ordered toward this goal. We shall daily receive in the church nothing but the forgiveness of sins through the word and signs to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live here. The daily work of God for us is to forgive sins in Jesus' name over and over and over again. And I pray that that's why you keep coming back. Because in that confession and absolution, you are receiving that forgiveness of sins. In those elements that sit on that altar right there, that you receive with your mouth, they are Jesus' very body and blood, and they give you the forgiveness of sins. To the world, all of that looks very ordinary. It might even be boring to the rest of the world. Some people might say, those are just words. But this is why God sent his Son into the world in the first place. He sent his Son so that he might seek you out, so that he might find you where you are, and that he might care for you where you need it most. You remember that scene with Jesus before Pilate that we just heard from the Passion reading a few moments ago? What was it that offended that council so much? Again and again, they were trying to catch Jesus in his words, but the word of life will not be tricked. He who is truth in the flesh has no reason to lie, no reason to deceive. And ultimately, Jesus is judged to be crucified because he said that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus admitted that he was the Messiah, the one who had come to save his people from their sins. And for that so-called blasphemy, they condemned him to death. That's extraordinary work that Jesus did there. It might seem ordinary to us because we've heard it so many times. And sometimes it's hard for us to accept that ordinary work that God does in Christ Jesus. It's hard for us to believe that God works through those simple words, through those ordinary means, through the objects that he gives to us to point us to who he is and what he's done for us in his Son. Because our sinful nature rejects it as too easy, as too obvious. Yet everything in the church, everything that happens here in this place is ordered so that you might receive the forgiveness of sins and new life in his name here and now. The Messiah seeks you out in words and signs and actions thus, as our hymn just said. He seeks you out so that you would repent of your sins, so that you would trust in him. So come and continue to receive this gracious gift of forgiveness that he so generously offers to you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.